Kang survived a painful near-death experience. He is now a pastor and church planter at Orange County LA Gospel Community Church and joins me now. Steve, thanks for doing this. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing really well. Blessed to be here. Yeah, thank you.
So I've never asked this of a guest, but you were dead for a while and came back to life. And the question I've never asked a guest is, how did you die, Steve?
Yeah, so I wasn't medically dead, but I did have a near-death experience, to be more specific.
Okay.
An out-of-body experience, yeah. So,
well, then I still haven't asked a guest that question at all, so I appreciate that. give us your near-death experience then.
Yeah, sure. So I was born in a Buddhist family and really into the religion. And then in the sophomore year of my college, I was here at Claremont College, Pomona, good school, but I ended up, hanging out the wrong crowd and partying and seeking, the wrong, seeking for answers in life in the wrong places. And I stayed up for 10 straight days after smoking what's called a death bowl. That's what it's called in the streets. It's a mix of heroin, cocaine, and PCP, but it's like just laced on marijuana. So I was up for 240 straight hours without even a second or a minute of rest or sleep. And pretty much, I don't know if the listeners believe in this, but I do because I experienced it. I felt like I was not myself. I felt like I had a split personality. I was demon possessed. And I attempted suicide, all in the hopes of trying to get to heaven. I didn't hurt anybody. I was still a good person. But being high that long, I didn't know what time it was, brother. I didn't know where I was. I forgot who I was. I was in class. I couldn't respond to any of the questions, and my brain literally got fried, I think. And after that incident, I attempted, it's a very radical story, but I attempted suicide in terms of trying to go to heaven and reach Nirvana. But, that didn't work out because, there's a better way to go to heaven than trying to kill yourself. And so, in a nutshell, I had a near-death experience due to overdose of drugs. And then seeing heaven out. Did you want me to go into that right now, or?
Yeah, well, that's I appreciate you explaining this because that's what we wanted to have you on. We were talking about life after death a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about a documentary, and so we reached out to you on your story. So tell us then the near-death experience. You had an out-of-body one.
Yeah, I had an out-of-body experience while this was happening. So I was 19 years old in the city of Irvine, California, here in Orange County, the safest city. In the whole country, it's rated here in the United States. So here I am trying to reach eternal life. And I'm sure some of you guys have seen the documentary After Death. It was the number one selling documentary from what I hear here in the United States. And I was one of the six story tellers on there. And in a nutshell, I had a spiritual experience where I met a spiritual being, and I was Buddhist. So I thought it was the Buddhist God. And he told me, in the midst of me suffering so much, that if I kill myself, offer my life as a living sacrifice to him, that he'll give me 50,000 less years of hell. And now it sounds ridiculous at this point. I've been sober for 25 years. Hallelujah. Thank God. But back then, I didn't know better. So I grabbed the biggest knife I could find in the kitchen. I wrote a letter of apology to my mom. She read the letter right before this happened, the night before this happened. And she was weeping. And on the following day, it was around September 11th, 1998, I got on my knees, and I highly don't recommend this, but I cut open my neck and my stomach, and that's what led to a near-death experience and an out-of-body experience. So the cops came. There's a lot of police here in Irvine. They come right away. They came within a minute. A whole group of them, four of them or five of them came. And they maced me, hit me with a bat, and I ended up dropping the knife. But while this is happening, I was able to inflict a lot of damage and cut my arteries, my blood vessels. And the entire living room was covered in blood red. And I ended up, having I lost consciousness as we're taking me to UCI Emergency Room Medical Center. And on the way there, I felt my spirit leave my body. I was going in and out of consciousness, in and out, guys. And 1 minute, 1 second, I'm here at the hospital. The next second, I see myself. And slowly, I knew I was going to, I felt like I was just dying. And when my spirit left my body, you know, the spirit, the Buddhist God that was talking to me, he was nowhere to be found. And here I am sinking and sinking. It felt like an elevator just falling, or a roller coaster just going down, but never, you know, going back up. And after a good 5 minutes, I landed. And when I landed, guys, it was not heaven for sure. I don't even believe, back then I didn't even believe in a biblical heaven or hell. But here I am in hell, and and I look around, and I'm not alone. And this place has no sunlight. It was very dark. I felt like I was standing on rocks, and just, I looked to the left, there's a big cliff. There were demonic beings there, but they were not small and weak. I knew they were like gods of this place called hell. And every pain that I experienced on earth, whether emotional, physical, spiritual, mental, whatever you call it, every aspect was just 10 times, 100 times worse. The agony, the rejection, the guilt that I felt at that moment, something I believe no human being should experience. And for the first time in my life, and I just knew supernaturally in my conscience that I'm never getting out of this place, that this is an eternal place. And secondly, you know, that I'm a sinner, that I'm not a good person. And on earth, I thought I was a pretty good dude. You know, I never killed anyone. I did some bad things. But, you know, it was just to survive and, you know, to benefit myself and the ones I love. But at that moment, I knew that I was in hell and that I deserve to be there. And that was my the first stage of my near-death experience.
And so, so what I wanted to say, Steve, is like from people who've had out-of-body experiences, we always hear the ones where there's a white light. It was euphoric. Yep. I felt warm and coddled, and then I whatever else happened, and then I came back. You literally, whether people believe in this or not, have had the opposite experience of what we as society have come to know as a near-death out-of-body experience.
Exactly. Yeah, I had the direct antithesis of that, the opposite. Now, I did have a heavenly experience 9 months later, but it was not a near-death experience, brother. But that was in June of 1999. But for me, I didn't see any light. I didn't feel any warmth. I just felt myself sinking as an unbeliever, one who didn't believe in God, one who had no faith. I heard about the gospel, and I always rejected it. I wanted to become God myself. That is the point of Buddhism, to reach nirvana. But the end of it was what I experienced. And, you know, what's funny is in the movie, people I've never met, and I've read, you know, books by, you know, non-Christians, Christians on near-death experiences, and it's A or B. You either see hell or you see heaven. So I think that what you're describing, the light that they saw, that's, they're probably describing a good God, a loving God, who sent his son Jesus to die for the sins of the world. I think that's what they're experiencing, seeing heaven. But for me, I had the direct opposite experience. But here's the good news. After I did experience hell, I ended up, you know, my mom called her only Christian friend, and all these prayer warriors came to the emergency room, and a blood vessel specialist actually flew in to the medical center at the right exact time. And he told my mom, I almost died, because we had not one surgery, but two surgeries. It felt like 5 to 10 minutes down there in the abyss and Sheol in hell. But for me, it felt like, it felt like 5 minutes, but it was 8 hours here in the natural, in the on earth time wise. It was 8 hours. And these prayer warriors from a local church named the Grace Ministries International in Fullerton, Orange County, California, they came in and they were praying for me for the entire duration of the surgery. And the surgery was a success, and here I am, you know, talking to you.
I can't believe, and no disrespect, I can't believe you're still alive when you describe, you know, how you injured yourself. But B, this is how we're almost out of time. But you described it as 5 minutes, and I would presume that has changed your life. Like I would presume that is whether you believe or not, or do this or don't do that. The overall tone I'm hearing from you is that you didn't want to live that kind of, the life that could lead you back there. What? How did you leave after the five minutes? Like what happened when you did leave this place that you were in?
Yeah, I didn't see a light at the time, but I heard a voice. It was the most loving voice I've ever heard. I don't know who it was, but now I know it was Jesus, the Son of God who died for the sins of the world. He said, no more drugs, no more Buddhism. And Steve, I love you. And I knew at that moment, this was not a being I've spoken to ever, because I never went to church. And I opened my eyes and I was in the ER, and I said the sinner's prayer about not one, two, three, about 10 times that day at that emergency room. How did my life change? I've been sober for 25 years. I learned to love the
And so this is
my... Blessed, unblessable, forgive the unforgivable. I learned to love my neighbor. Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah, sorry, right. Steve. I know we're on Zoom here, so it's kind of... I'm cutting you off, but I do have to go. But I want to leave it with this.
Yep.
Can you... like, it's... Yes. Some people are going to say this is hard to believe. I would presume that you had a hard time believing it as you went forward from this experience.
Yeah, it was not an instantaneous journey. It took me years and years to learn the truth. And I want to tell people who might have a hard time believing or doubting, it's normal. It's a journey, guys. But one thing is for sure, there is eternity begins when we die. Life is a journey. We're just passing through this. In the Bible, we're just aliens and pilgrims passing by this world. It's not forever, as you see. You know, they say in America, two things are for certain: death and taxes. So we all die, but what happens after? The answer lies in the good news, guys, the gospel. So,
well,
God,
Steve,
loves every Canadian. Yes, thank you.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you sharing this, and I want to say, first of all, I'm literally glad you're still here with us on this planet, and then I appreciate we talked about the documentary, and I appreciate you joining us to tell your story on the show too. It's a fascinating story, and I really appreciate your time. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you,
Steve Kang, once again from Orange County. He's now a pastor and church planter at the Orange County LA Gospel Community Church.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.